Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. SG Extra, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, with local COVID-19 cases climbing, the authorities have tightened restrictions to prevent daily infections from rising at the current rate.
While Singapore does not have to return to a state of heightened alert, some measures will have to be tightened for about a month to reduce the strain on healthcare capacity.
From today, people will be allowed to gather in only groups of two. Working from home will be the default for the coming month, with those unable to do so encouraged to test themselves weekly.
Now, on Sunday, Singapore reported a record 1,939 new COVID-19 cases. This is the sixth consecutive day new infections have exceeded the 1,000 mark.
Joining us on the line now to share more is Zakir Hussain, Singapore editor at The Straits Times. Zakir, welcome back to Prime Time.
Hi, good to join you again.
Always good to have you with us, Zakir. So let's start off. Let's kind of do a bit of a recap and a refresh. What do we need to know about COVID-19 restrictions that take place from today? The big one, groups of two only.
I think that's sort of the key restriction. But I think one of the other points to note is that, work from home is now the default again. But to all intents and purposes, I think a large number of other activities can go on as planned. Dining out, that's still okay, so long as you're kept in groups of two. Visiting retail malls, outlets, shopping, buying things you need to, even visiting libraries or the museum. Capacity limits have not sort of been lowered.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was, the latest moves do aim to be a bit more targeted in stopping the surge in infections, but also they seem aimed at sending a signal that for the most part, life can go on, given that most people are fully vaccinated. You just need to take precautions and, I guess, just be mindful of masking and safe distancing.
But Zakir, I think one of the criticisms that wasn't really addressed fully is that how do we become COVID resilient and live with COVID-19 when we move forward, we take, two steps forward and take one step back in terms of these restrictions? They're not exactly heightened alert, but they're a disruption anyway to businesses, to people's lives. It's been happening, every 2-3 weeks or a month. There's no consistency to it anymore.
Yeah, I think that criticism we've been hearing a fair bit, although I'm not sure it's an entirely valid criticism, given that COVID-19's upended many of the other assumptions we've had over the past few months. In fact, most countries have experienced surges and dips. You find waves of infection. And I think that's the tough thing for policymakers everywhere around the world. I think maybe elsewhere you might not see such sharp swings, although I think countries are also grappling with it. That I think we could have stayed on track with dining in and dining out in groups of five and so on. But I think the price might have been a bit tough politically. I mean, were we prepared to see infection soar to 4,000, 5,000, 6,000? And it's not just about infection numbers rising. It's about hospital capacity and beds running out. We've seen just a few months ago how emergency wards and ICUs in neighboring countries were, overwhelmed.
Right.
To the point where patients can't even get treated. As it is already, we've got patients complaining about, not getting instructions on how to serve out your quarantine.
That's one of the things, Zakir, that jumped out to me, at least from Friday's press conference, was they did address the anxieties that people are going through because, having to ease into home recovery protocols and all these things. Do you think there's enough being done now to address the situation? To tell people, you may test positive from COVID-19, it doesn't mean you're sick. It doesn't mean you're going to get sick.
In fact, I think that's the thing that they're trying to tell, but I think a number of people still do seem that they do feel like they want to take the precautions. And I think the requirement is, look, if the ART tests positive, just stay home, isolate yourself, and maybe just take the test again in a few days, right? And I think, assuming most people who are vaccinated fully and who are otherwise healthy, if they were to just not even see a doctor get treated for COVID-19, given that it's a mild infection, then maybe it won't even be added to the numbers, but it's also a sign that maybe the virus is actually becoming more endemic there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between people wanting to move to an endemic phase faster, but when it affects them, they do also want to be.
Yeah,
I think that's the disconnect between expectations and experience.
And I think on the back of that, we need to look at the numbers as well, because if we just rewind a couple of weeks ago, right, COVID-19 daily cases were under 100 a day. But where are we when it comes to vaccination rate? 82% of the population have been fully vaccinated. So what then can we expect to happen next? I mean, with 82% fully vaccinated, what can we expect to take place? I mean, where do we stop, or where do we? What are the next moves that we can anticipate from the government? They've said that we're going to reevaluate the current measures in 2 weeks' time. What might we see?
I think a lot of it will depend on how the cases and clusters evolve. You know, we were close to 2,000 cases last night. I think any day now we're probably going to cross 2,000 cases.
Mm.
And I think that's not going to be a big thing. I think if over the next 2 weeks our case numbers remain around this level and don't surge suddenly, I guess we might see a relaxation, you know, possibly shifting to 5 again, although they might buy a bit more time with that. The other area of concern is actually workplace interactions, and I think work from home will likely still be the default, given that quite a number of the clusters that have emerged in recent weeks and days happen to be from workplace interactions.
Mm.
You know, whether it's at Pfizer or at wholesale centers.
I guess one of the things, Zakir, that needs to be really addressed is to tell people that they should not be so concerned about these numbers, that they're going to be, consistent, as you mentioned, and then everything will just sort of plateau from there. And with a high vaccination rate, how can we, the media or the government, make people really realize this? Because, you know, as you mentioned, the experience and the expectations and everything, there's a big disconnect.
I don't know. I think maybe we could start a campaign, you know, saying I've had COVID, fine. That could work. But it's tough. I think many people who lament about home recovery, many people who there's still a bit of stigma about, you know, people catching COVID, you know, which isn't quite there when you tell someone you've got the flu or you've got chickenpox. I think that's going to take some time to change. But I think we'll get there soon enough. And I think what we need are cases of people who say, look, I've got, you know, I took an ART, I've got COVID. I consciously decided I'm not going to text the healthcare system. I'm perfectly healthy otherwise. You know, maybe I live with very young kids. I'll just sort of self-isolate. But, you know, I'm making the decision to not get treated for COVID-19. And I think, you know, if that goes well and there's enough that sort of catches on, maybe stuff like that could, you know, make us more used to the virus.
And I guess perhaps we could see that once the numbers start to hit those higher 1,000 daily rates than Zakir.
Yep. it's tough. I don't know. I think the reason these measures are in place is to make sure that the numbers stay at around 2,000.
Mm.
They might hit 3,000, they might hit 4,000, but hopefully they don't jump after that, because I think there's usually a bit of a week or so lag. Yeah, I think if we start to see 6,000, 7,000, I think the clamor for further restrictions could well be there, you know, and just a bit breaker, another lockdown, or schools shift fully to home-based learning. I think some of these uncertainties are still out there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Zakir, for sharing all those updates with us today. We've been speaking with Zakir Hussain, Singapore editor at The Straits Times. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.